B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Tub. Into the shift, that ought to end it. And that will indeed. The Red Sox win the ball game. Going away 20-8, the final score. Xander with a home run. Big night for Hunter Renfro again, and for Nathan Eovaldi as well, not to be forgotten, because he struck out 10 over 7, allowed just one run, three hits.
Red Sox needed this, you know that. This was desperation time, and they came out pounding. That's exactly what they needed to do. Everybody can take a deep breath. They did already, I think, this whole game, and they sort of added their stats a little bit offensively, but they needed this win. Now they're four games out. They got to take the series tomorrow.
All right, quick Patriots breather here as we get ready for the first preseason game. Red Sox Minute with Maz. Also want to talk about that Field of Dreams game coming up tonight as well, opposite the Patriots. What do you think, Maz, last night? Are they back on the beam?
Nope. And look, I said, Murray thinks they're dead. I've said consistently in the last couple of days, I don't think they're dead.
Yeah, would you like a nail, Mike? I got one ready to, a couple here, ready to put in the coffin. I've put mine in a few days ago.
Murray did. He brought in a box of galvanized nails. He's been handing them out to people all over the office. And crying out loud, he's ready to hammer the Red Sox into oblivion. And I can't say I blame him. But if they lose today, what does last night mean? You lost another series. You lost ground in the last 3 days. So this is my thing. You want to make last night mean something, you got to come out and win today. It's about building momentum. It's about winning consistently, winning series, closing the gap now. That's what it's about. So look, I'm glad they broke out. It was good. They needed that kind of game. They needed a laugher. As we could tell by the ninth inning, when they're all of a sudden it ended up 20-8. But regardless, they needed that kind of night where they just, you know, beat up on somebody and feel better about themselves. Great. If you lose today, it's irrelevant.
Yeah, just quickly. So the way that game ended, I think, is maybe the most telling thing of all. Did you see what Bogart said after the game, too?
You're talking last night when they gave up, what, seven runs in the ninth inning or something like
that? Yeah. So here's the quote. At the end there, this is Xander Bogaerts. At the end there, it was really unfortunate for Valdez coming in a game like that. I would imagine for a pitcher, it's tough. The opposing team just came out hacking. It kind of ruined the night a little bit.
Oh, God.
And Bogaerts has been, like, you know, the leader of the mope crew. Ever since, you know, the organization didn't add to the trade deadline. So, I don't know. I feel like he's thinking this way. Like, shows they are kind of broken mentally. Like, that is so telling. They did need that. I'm with Eck on that. They needed to win, you know, the 20 runs, whatever. The Rays probably should have pulled their pitcher in the first inning, the starter in the first inning. But for him to say that after they win that game, I think is very telling.
So, I think what, you know, this stretch, this post-deadline stretch, right now, if the season ended today, I think showed us that the Red Sox were a complete fraud. A complete fraud as a team. Fraud as a pitching staff. Now look at their numbers since the league cracked down on sticky stuff. And don't draw the line when they actually implemented the rule. You draw the line when that Sports Illustrated story came out. That's when the numbers started to change across Major League Baseball. Maz, I know, has gone over this as well. I've checked in a couple times. I know you talk about Matt Barnes since that date, since it was revealed that MLB was going to crack down. You know, Barnes, Richards, the rest of them, the pitching staff, since the sticky stuff, proven to be frauds, cheaters. Not all of them, but enough of them for it to make a real difference. And the second thing, this sort of tough competitive attitude, to this point, again, we got... The final analysis is not in, but if the season ended today, I'd say that's a fraud too. Turns out you just got hot in the beginning of the year and rode a bunch of momentum. You're front runners. You know, you didn't really grind out, and so you got swept the opening weekend, and then you came back. So that's the one bit of adversity that you faced. Other than that, it's a team that pulled out a lot of games late, maybe got a lot of luck along the way, rode some momentum, felt good about themselves, and won a bunch of games because of it. But as soon as they had to really dig deep, fell flat on their face. So I'd say between the pitching staff and the way they care, that competitiveness thing that I gave them a lot of credit for, fraudulent. If it ends up the way you know, if they end up losing, let's say, the one game playing, or, you know, certainly if they don't even make the playoffs, they were a fraud team, Maz.
Well, so look, it would be headed, if they miss the playoffs, it's to me, it's a disaster. Given the way that the first, you know, whatever, 105 games went or whatever it was, that they would be at that stage going into the deadline playing the way they played and then collapse down the stretch, a complete, utter debacle. So I'm not letting them off the hook on that one. I still think that they have a chance to get some, you know, some of their juice back. And look, last night was, I'd say it was a start, but it really depends on today. You got to win series. You got to build momentum now. And I'm not telling you I expect Chris Sale and Schwarber to come in and have some sort of major impact. I don't know. But I'll leave it open that it's a possibility.
Well, let me tell you, I think that, and I'm not burying them either. I'm telling you, if the season ended today, that's how I feel.
Sure.
I feel they're a fraud. But I'm not burying them. I don't think they're done, Murray. I'm not going to put that nail in the coffin. Because I think whatever emotional hit they took from a bad deadline, well, maybe they get the opposite by Sale and Schwarber actually walking through the door.
All right, so you've been out. Let me ask you this. Shouldn't Sale be pitching today?
So I don't know how it's scheduled out, when he last threw in Worcester, et cetera.
Well, we've been talking about this the last few days, and that if, you know, he's ready to go, then he's ready to go. And you have him go in this final game of this series, so that he also goes against New York next week. Right now, the way that it's set up, he shouldn't have pitched this last game in stupid Worcester. They should have had him ready to go. If he's again, ready to go, you're ready to go, pitching the important games. You need this for the playoff push. Instead, he's pitching Saturday against stupid Baltimore and next week against Texas, who stinks. It makes no sense.
What if you want a soft opening for a guy who can't, you know, empty the bucket yet?
Like okay, so Mike, they do want a soft opening, right? Then don't sell him to us as some sort of savior at the deadline.
Right.
When they sit there and say, well, we're getting Chris Sale back. Yeah. Well, then why are you pitching him against Baltimore?
Fair.
So you can't have both. That's all. You can't have both.
All right. I know you played some Heim Bloom the other night from Nesson. I don't know if you played this quote. I'm reading it from my other email chain from NBC Sports Boston. So I don't know if this was to Nesson or somewhere else, but I just want your thoughts on Heim Bloom reacting to criticism of, you know, his soft deadline. He said, quote, "I find it hard to believe people would want us to do things that are responsive to public opinion or try to spin things in a PR game if we don't actually think they're good baseball moves. You also have to remind yourself that we have a lot of fans, and they have a lot of different opinions. And sometimes you have some parts of the fan base that are going to like what you do, some parts that don't. That's really hard to gauge. You've got to remind yourself that Twitter is not always real life." So on one hand, like, he's right.
Sure.
You can't make baseball decisions based on the whims of public opinion. That's a horrible way to manage a team, and that's how you get yourself in trouble, if you just go with the wind of what people want or what people think. Obviously, that's true. And yes, Heim, very good. Twitter is garbage. It's not real life, man. Okay? So, like, I'm with him broadly on that. But he does realize that winning is important in Boston, right? Like, it is different than Tampa. You do have to win here. And winning means more here, is more important here, and you probably have to take more chances here because of it. And on one hand, yep, you can't react to the fans and Twitter blows. Yep, agreed. But on the other, you'd still have to win. Do you think he understands that yet, Maz?
No. And this is, you know, not off of that quote, but this is something we talked about earlier in the week. It's not Tampa. So when you say, good, you know, we got to make good baseball moves for the short term or the long. Because in Tampa, it's easy. You just make long-term moves all the time. You have no choice. You have no payroll. So anytime a guy requires money, you either have to trade money off your roster, or, you know, you got to trade that player and figure it out with young guys. So you got to always put an emphasis on the minor league system. Always, always, always. That's not true here. So you got to balance it a little. You got to go back and forth. You got to play some tennis there. And I'm not sure he gets it yet, and I hope someday he does. It's early.
I mean, yes, okay, don't react to Twitter. Got it. Heim, we demand that you win here. Win here. That is a demand. It's a requirement, okay? So don't confuse or conflate the two, right? I'm not going to listen just because the fans want it. Well, the fans want to win, and you have to win. And I'd like to hear him say that, you know, every now and then. The quote at the deadline, which was just the worst, "We don't do anything that runs counter to our goals." Like, what is your goal? The goal is to win, and you had the best record in the American League. That's the goal. But so I do think, Maz, that this is a real concern about his real, you know, is that his number one motivation to get a World Series now for the Red Sox? I don't think it is, and I think it seeps out almost every time he talks.
Yeah, he's just conditioned to thinking a certain way, right? He's got a small market mentality, for lack of a better term. And that is, again, thinking long term all the time, which is, again, if you're in Tampa, Kansas City, great. But here, they could have done more at this deadline, Mike. They did a disservice to their roster. They did a disservice to their fans. It was not an honest effort. And frankly, like, even the PR part where he talks about it, I thought the Schwarber move was a little bit of a PR play. Okay, maybe not entirely. They could have used the lefty bat. But he's not a fit for their roster. And the two relievers were definitely a PR play, so they could say, well, we picked up two bullpen pieces because they're two bums.
All right, finally, tonight, opposite Patriots and the football team on Fox. I believe this game time is 7 o'clock. And I either totally forgot about this or didn't know it was happening because it was news to me. It's the Field of Dreams game where, quite literally, if you're old enough to remember, Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner in 1989, they have gone to the exact farm where they filmed Field of Dreams. They built a full baseball field about a quarter mile from the actual movie set.
Correct.
Because from what I understand, the movie set, the ground was too uneven and they couldn't put it there.
Yeah.
So they put it several hundred yards away. And they built a baseball diamond in this effing cornfield where they filmed the movie. There are lights and stands. And the players, from what I understand, are going to quite literally walk out of the cornfield and play a baseball game tonight on Fox. It's Yankees and White Sox. Maz, your thoughts?
Go the distance. Go the distance.
Jimmy, how about a little music?
No, well, you know what? Can we hold this for one second?
Oh, all right, fine.
Can we hold this for one second? Just give me your general thoughts because... Just give me your general thoughts first.
It's a good thing they're coming out of a cornfield because it's complete cornball.
Oh, it's a cool idea.
Oh, it's corny. It's totally corny. We're actually going to play in Iowa? Who gives a rat's ass about Iowa?
Every real hardcore baseball fan like cries to this movie still to this day. They love it. It's meaningful to them. It's a neat idea.
See, but again,
even I can admit that.
Yeah, this is what I would say is baseball is sort of stuck on this whole romantic idea thing. And this is part of the problem. Like, let it go already. So, again, people I am interested in the corn stalks, okay? I want to see a ball go into the corn. Like, okay, fine, that will be cool. That's about it.
Well, no, but there is still a fence.
Well, so I know that.
It's not like Aaron Judge is going to be running headlong into the freaking corn or anything.
No, but you can hit a ball into the cornfield.
Yeah,
if it goes
right
over the fence, you lose it in the corn.
Yeah, it's in the corn.
Okay, so again, that will be kind of cool, seeing a home run land in the cornfield. All right, fine, not unprecedented. There's spring training sites that have something similar, not entirely.
So what would you prefer, like Yankees-Dodgers from the parking lot of the Spearmint Rhino in Vegas?
How about Yankees-White Sox at Yankee Stadium?
So listen.
What's wrong with that?
Listen, we'll take a quick break. I do want to discuss this more because there's something I love about it and there's something I just hate about it. Okay? And we'll get all your thoughts as well. Hold on. We'll be right back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So beautiful here. For me. Well, for me, it's like a dream come true. Can I ask you something? Is this heaven? It's Iowa.
Uh!
Oh my God. I'd be sick to my stomach. Is this heaven? No. It's Iowa. Oh, go. F yourself. Go take a baseball bat, Kevin, and shove it up your keister. What? Okay, this is, I'll start with what I hate. I hate that movie.
Shocker.
Oh my God. That is one of the most trite, contrived, cliched, hackneyed piece of movie making in my lifetime. And I find it offensive because it's a sports movie and it's always listed like in these sports movies. And because I'm such a sports dork, I usually watch the sports movies, and I have. And the run, the play that this movie gets, and I think it is such trash, I can't even tell you. And I've known it since the day I saw it. And I remember, you know, when I saw it. I was a sophomore in college. I wasn't even as jaded as I am now. I remember watching this thing like, you got to be kidding me. This thing is freaking stupid. do you hear the music? Like, just the music alone and the dialogue is just so, oh my God, it's so freaking gross. Like that. So there's the scene after he, you know, gets to meet his father as a younger man in the cornfield, and like, oh, is this heaven? Nope, it's Iowa. Oh, go F yourself. F you. Here, let me just play number two, Jimmy, of this final scene where it's like he sees his father unpacking the catching gear, and he's next to his annoying wife. Oh, the annoying wife. Remember the annoying wife?
Amy Madigan.
Oh, my God, the annoying wife. It's like the 60s, man. We're fighting for something. It's like the 60s. Oh, F you. F you. Corny. Trite. Oh, just the worst. The worst of the worst. But they just listen. It's like a parody. The movie is so freaking corny. It's like a parody of itself. Number two, Jimmy, what do they say to his father? Listen to that.
Yeah, playing at your heartstrings.
Oh, my God.
I only saw him years later when he was worn down by life.
Oh, wait, stop. I only saw him later when he was worn down by life. Who talks like that? I only saw him later when he was worn down by life.
A son that didn't really know his dad all that
well. Oh, my God.
I was nothing more than a glint in his eye.
Oh, my God. Maz, you know the line.
Of course I do.
Before he was worn down by life, someone should grab those baseball bats and beat Kevin Costner about the face. That is so. Oh my God! It's a Hallmark movie. This was like Academy Award nominated stuff. It was the most trite, obnoxious, banal. The writing, the music. Again, play that again, Jimmy. Go ahead. He was worn down by life.
Banal.
Hey, Dad.
God, I only saw him years later when he was worn down by life. Look at him. He's got his whole life in front of him, and I'm not even a glint in his eye.
Oh, my God.
What do I say to him?
Why don't you introduce him to his granddaughter?
Oh my God. That's like, you know how they're talking too? It's like, what do I say to him? Introduce him to your granddaughter.
Hiya, Karen.
Before he was worn down by life.
It makes all the sense in the world that you saw this movie when you were in college and you feel this way about it, because at that point you had become too much of a cynic and your heart had turned to stone.
Jim.
He was born that way, Murray.
This is garbage. The movie was garbage. It played on every trite, cheesy, corny emotion about baseball and your father and like just the hushed tones and oh my God, all of them. K- can go. It should have been taken out back in that cornfield and just completely beaten about the face with all the old baseball bats. The whole movie was so freaking horrible.
Ears of corn thrown at them.
Yeah, with a pitchfork.
So my problem with the thing is the movie. The movie is garbage. The idea, though, to film it in the cornfield, it's kind of cool. I'm a big fan of the Winter Classic. I think the Winter Classic for the NHL was a big success just because it's a great visual. It's not really about the game. It's not even about the sport. It's just sort of 2 hours. Now, of course, the baseball game's going to take four. But the hockey game's two and a half hours out of your life on a Sunday afternoon where you turn on the TV and it looks cool and it visually just sort of pops. And it works, and it's a one-off thing, and it's been a good success for the NHL. And so if baseball can duplicate that in any way, shape, or form, good for them. That's what I like about it. But them being them, the idiots, they scheduled on Thursday night against NFL preseason, where I bet you Patriots football team and Eagles Steelers is going to beat the crap out of this baseball game. Like, idiots, put it on a Sunday night standalone when there's no other sports. Maybe even make it your All-Star weekend or something. I don't know. You don't put it up against NFL football, even preseason football, on a Thursday night. Stupid.
That's the key thing with this. That
unbelievably
that this
stupid.
Isn't on this Sunday at 4 in the afternoon or something like that is so stupid. It's so baseball, much like the Red Sox can't get out of their own effing way. Because I actually would like to watch the thing in its entirety. No shot tonight, not with the Patriots preseason game on.
I'll check in for a few minutes. I have zero interest in it. Unlike you, I did not hate the movie. But the actual game, you know, again, I'm interested in the highlight of a ball flying into the cornfield, but I'm not going to watch the game. I have no interest in it.
But you know, I don't really watch the Winter Classic. It's just on.
Sure.
And it's a nice thing to have on. It's great wallpaper. It's beautiful, right? NBC's done a great job with that game over the years. The thing at Lake Tahoe this last year, that was cool. Like, that's, you know, I don't remember. And the game, the Bruins blew them out. I guess I do remember it. But if it were neutral site, I wouldn't remember a thing about it. But it's on, and it's a success, and it rates well. It does well. It's a TV event. And this is TV, after all. And so build a big, pretty set to play your games. I think all sports should do this. I think the NBA should do more to do stuff like this. They have had these college games on, like, aircraft carriers, right?
Which, yeah,
I think is awesome,
yeah,
visual. Like, that's terrific. Yeah, so I think all these sports should do. The regular seasons are so long and tedious that if you can mix it up with just a special night with a special visual, no harm, no who. How do you lose anything in this? Like, who would complain about it? What's the big deal? You do it. And I think this is a great idea by baseball. Apparently, this effing field and those lights and everything, they're permanent. So this could become something of a permanent thing. I would just say, dummies, Sunday afternoon in July, when there's nothing, and you own the day and you own the night, and it's just something of wallpaper. I know people aren't home in July, but I get it. But I'm just telling you, you could have had a good number here in Boston tonight, or in D.C., but or in Pittsburgh, or in these places, but no shot. The Patriots preseason game is going to blow this game out of the water. The other preseason game tonight is Steelers-Eagles. So in two important markets, Philly and Pittsburgh, you're porked. No one's going to watch the thing. Don't put it up against anything having to do with football ever. You idiots. You're going to lose. But don't get me started on this movie. Don't get me started on this movie.
Is the movie manipulative? Of course it is. But I saw it when I was 13 years old. It's peak baseball, Jim. I'm so into the sport. Awkward time with the old man. Oh, I still love it. I'm not that cold. My heart's not that. It hasn't turned to stone that much, Mike.
Murray,
I still like that movie.
Murray,
it still hits.
Murray, I'm a crier. I cry. I cry at a good national anthem. I cry at movies. I cry.
On airplanes.
I do. Oh, my God. You watch a movie on an airplane, you are susceptible. And believe me, I am susceptible. You might find me sitting there bawling my eyes out over, you know, this, that, or the other for no reason whatsoever. So it's not that. It's when you so blatantly, you know, go at the heartstrings, like a full frontal attack on your heartstrings versus just letting the story play out and let the story be the thing that draws you in and brings out your emotion. It's this Hallmark movie. Here we come right at you. Is this heaven? It's Iowa. Oh, it's just horrible. But Maz knows it pretty well. I got to tell you that.
I've seen it a couple times.
Maz, believe me, we got time for you. We'll do it after Murray's update with your calls. I promise. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, I just want to follow up quickly on this Field of Dream game. Smaz, why don't you like it?
Oh, I just think the whole thing's a little bit corny. It's contrived. And so... you know, if it were the actual field with the actual, you know, I when I initially heard about it, I thought, oh, are they literally going to have no fence? Like the ball can roll into the cornfield? And part of me thought that was kind of cool. Then I thought, there's no way they're doing it that way. That's like a little league game. Like there have to be fences. It's got to be a legit big league game. And then it just, the whole thing is sticky. It's sticky. That's all. And so, you know, if it were on a Sunday afternoon, would I watch it? Sure. Yeah, or a Sunday night and there was nothing else on, but I flick it on, yes. And I think it would get its, you know, a proper due there, if any. But the idea of, like, on a Thursday night, I'm going to stop and watch this thing? No chance. No chance. I have, like, very little interest in it.
What if the Patriots game wasn't on?
I might flick over, Murray. Honestly, just to sort of see what it... So, Mike, to your point, just to see what it looked like.
Yeah.
Right? But the fact that they're playing a game on the field... You know what they should do? See, if baseball had a brain, did you say earlier, play the actual All-Star game on the field or do...
Yeah, okay. Or maybe part of that weekend or something.
Okay, why not play the actual All-Star game on that field?
Right.
Like that. Okay, now I might watch. Now there's nothing else going on. You get the best players in the game. Someone might flick over to watch a few innings of it anyway. So play the actual All-Star game on that field. Now maybe you got something, but a regular season game... I just, it's not, it doesn't appeal to me.
Mass, quickly now, so you don't hate the movie like I do, obviously. Few people do. I don't think anyone hates that movie more than I do. But you still look at it and go, really?
I do, yeah. You mean the game?
Well, I thought you had a whole thing you're about to wind up and do a couple of
times. Oh, yes.
Ago.
No. I thought you were asking about the game
itself. I'm trying to set you up.
So look, okay. So the whole movie to me really comes down to one scene. Okay, and that is when Ray's about to lose the farm.
Oh, yeah, we got it.
Okay,
let's hear it.
Okay, his brother-in-law is trying to talk him into selling the farm, and, well, Terrence Mann decides to intervene. Hit it, Jimmy.
People will come, Ray. The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. As America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers, it's been erased. Like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
Yeah, see, Maz, that's better than it actually was. Like, again, I went, because just to refresh my memory, I went back and watched this crap this morning. It's so schlocky. It's so much even worse than that. Here, Jimmy, give me the real one. Go ahead. When he's deciding whether to foreclose on the farm or, and, you know, James Earl Jones talks him out of it. Go ahead.
People will come, Ray.
Oh, God.
They'll come to Iowa, places they can't even fathom.
Oh, please.
They'll turn up your driveway. Not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door as innocent as children, longing for the past. Of course, we won't mind if you look around, you'll say. It's only $20 per person. They'll pass over the money without even thinking about it.
John Henry's saying, screw that.
Money they have.
65.
And peace they like.
More like 220.
Just sign the papers.
And they'll walk out to the bleachers. Sit in shirt sleeves on a perfect afternoon.
Yeah. Tank tops. They reek.
I love the crunching field.
Oh, yeah.
We have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baselines.
Henrytown. $4.50 a pop.
When they were children, they cheered their heroes.
It'd be so thick.
And they'll watch the game. It'll be as if they dipped themselves in magic waters.
Oh, God.
The memories will be so thick.
Listen to this. Brush them away from their faces.
They were serious about this.
When the bank opens in the morning, they'll foreclose.
They should have.
People will come, Ray.
Spare us all.
People will come, Ray.
Foreclose on the farm. Spare us this crap. Sell, sell.
The one constant through all the years, Ray,
has been baseball.
Oh, God.
America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard.
Rebuilt
and erased again.
Listen to that music.
But baseball
has marked the time.
Oh, garbage.
This field.
This game.
It's a part of our past.
It's a part of our past, Ray.
Reminds us of all that once was good.
Of all that once was good.
Oh, yeah.
It could be again.
And it could be again.
Okay, stop. Yeah, that's why you got Shoeless Joe Jackson out there who threw a World Series. Reminds us of all that's good. And all the Shoeless Joe Jackson revisionist history can go F itself, too. He threw baseball games. He threw a World Series game. And what, he was not smart enough to figure it out? Well, then he's a dumbass. Like, why all this sympathy for Shoeless Joe Jackson? He either cheated and threw a World Series or was too dumb to figure out what he was doing.
My favorite part of that whole spiel is the pause. And it could be again.
Oh, whoa. God, I just...
Oh.
They should really play it up, though. Timothy Busfield, who plays the pain-in-the-ass brother, the redheaded guy with the beard, have him come out tonight and be like, what are you guys watching? There's nobody even here.
It's happening. Costner's there. So you'll get a full dose of that douchebag in your face tonight, you know, with his nonsense. The visual is fine. Well, play the ball game in a cornfield and make it look cool on TV. I'm all for it.
Come, Ray.
Oh, the Field of Dreams stuff. Like that monologue. That's serious. Like that they weren't joking. That's not a put on. That was serious. All right. I think I got it out of my system. I promise. Your calls
has rolled by like everything we've done.
Long commercial free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Please, Maz.
What the...
Felger and Maz.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones. I said we'd just spend a minute on the Sox in the ball game, but obviously it went longer. Sorry. That movie strikes a chord with me. Strikes a nerve, I should say.
Didn't we notice.
Patriots preseason action tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, 7:30 football team at the Patriots. Mac Jones, Cam Newton, that whole thing you'll hear it here live on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Pregame with Beadle and Beadle starts at 4:30. We got you covered right up until then. We'll take your calls on everything Sox and Field of Dreams related. Like, for example, here's Brian in the car on the game tonight. Go ahead. The Field of Dreams game. Go ahead, Brian.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm with Felger. I totally hated the game. I mean, the movie. I was about the same age as him, junior in college, and I thought it was so sappy and contrived that I just couldn't stand it. I didn't know how people liked that movie so much.
Okay, the definition of sap. And let me give you another one. Another sports movie that's just been completely, grotesquely overrated, and if you tried to watch it today, you'd again want to stick your finger down your throat. Jerry Maguire. Blows.
Oh, I hated that then. I'm with you on that one.
Blows. One good scene. Of course, the show me the money thing was hysterical. Great.
Cuba Gooding. He was awesome
right.
in that.
Oh, awesome. Right. Cuba Gooding was worth it. The Tom Cruise as a effing love story. Useless. Useless sports movie. But nothing is worse than this horrible Field of Dreams movie. That utter piece of garbage.
You had me at hello.
Oh, my God.
Like anyone's going to go that nuts for Renee Zellweger, please.
Ryan and Bill Rick on the Patriots tonight. Ryan, thanks for hanging on. What do you got?
I might.
What's going on, boys? Felger, good to have you back. All right, I got a running back take for you.
Go ahead.
All right, so I've been reading on J.J. Taylor. I've heard he's had a good camp. I kind of remember him from last year. He shined in a few games. Matt said it yesterday, or somebody yesterday said it reminds them of Darren Sproles. And I was just wondering, if he makes this team, which running back is to get cut? Is it James White or is it Sony Michel?
Oh, Sony Michel. See you later. I'm done with that guy, Maz. We've been done with that guy for 3 years.
Oh, my gosh. The other day, apparently, there was a report that he made a catch, like a terrific catch on the sideline. I thought, well, that's a misprint. They meant James White. It can't be Sony Michel.
Now, so, who had it earlier in the week that James White could be on the outside looking in? And I think I was at Zoe and Beetle, I think, talking. It might have been Zoe talking about how he wouldn't be shocked if he landed in Tampa.
I doubt it, though. No, they're going to. You know what? He should be a captain. For crying out loud. He should be one of the captains on this team. And Bill was gushing about him the other day. Said he's like one of the few guys that he's ever had that he can go to and get an honest assessment on things from. Someone he would go to and ask a question to. I heard that and I went, they're not cutting him. No way.
Peter in Holliston on the Red Sox trade deadline. How'd you feel about it, Peter?
So I think Chaim Bloom deserves a lot more credit than you armchair GMs are giving him. I think one of the things that you guys hate about the game, and particularly Chaim Bloom, is his ability to analyze the statistics and what's happened. And I think what Chaim Bloom said to himself was, I have maybe three assets that are worth trading that I'm guessing no matter who I talk to, they're going to want. But let's look at what our season has been. Our season has been, we've taken 9 from the Yankees, which is a total anomaly. Pretty much every season for the last decade, it's not been like that. Let's look at the rest of it. Let's look at our 60 wins. In our 60 wins, 30 of them, 50% of them, have been comeback wins.
Hey, Peter, before you go on, how many of Tampa's wins have been come from behind?
It's a different organization.
Oh, so okay, those don't count then.
Let me just cut him off because we get the point that they looked at the team and said they're not this good and they're not worth investing in. And is that the right approach or not, Maz? Did they actually get it right?
Well, so look, I think there's a way to middle it, Mike. Again, I'm okay with them emphasizing the long term. But if you're going to just wash your hands and say that the season doesn't matter, then why am I watching?
Okay, and let me tell you something. I think they're 1,000% wrong. Wrong. Even if the Red Sox win total is above their Pythagorean theorem, you know, but if their win total's beyond what the advanced metrics tell you it should be, so what, you nerd? Sometimes teams overachieve. Sometimes teams underachieve. It's not a computer program, you freaking dork. It's actually played by human beings who sometimes perform or underperform based on momentum or something else other than a number in your effing computer. So just because they were overplaying what they were, to me, I say, so what? I've seen teams do that all the way to a championship. And so have you. And so have you, caller. It happens. Sometimes teams just have a little bit of something, a little bit of magic sauce that you can't quantify, and they carry it all the way. And Chaim Bloom, because he's such a freaking clone, couldn't recognize that, didn't want to recognize that, and blew the chance to sort of ride that as far as he could take it. And that, to me, is wrong, wrong, wrong. So there's my answer to that.
Yeah, again, look, I feel like there was a way to middle it. I didn't want them to trade away their best prospects. I knew they weren't going to pay what it took to get Barrios. I knew they weren't going to pay what it took to get Scherzer. I knew that those guys were going to be off the board in all probability. It doesn't mean they still couldn't have invested in this team a little more than they did. And, Mike, the big one for me is the luxury tax. I'm sorry. I can forgive a lot of the stuff with the prospects because I get it. You're trying to build. But the luxury tax, you had to stay under the luxury tax. And you brought in Big Fudge, Austin Davis, and Hansel Robles. That was your bullpen? Oh, please, you deserve to get your brains beat in.
But this whole thing about, you know, they weren't as good as they, you know, I can see that if you're like a third, fourth place team battling for a wild card and you were thought to be a last place team. You had the best record in the American League. Like, that's not chopped liver. And you were at the end of July. Those teams win championships, whether they're the best team in the league or not, or whether they're overachieving or not. If you're in that spot, you can win it all. And if I were a Red Sox fan, I'd be pissed. It's like, there's a real chance here. There's a real chance. Those don't come along very often, even if you build it right. Even if you build the team you're looking to build, you're not going to be the best team in the American League, have the best record in the American League every July. and they didn't want to take advantage of it. That is just that's insane.
Especially at a time where the Celtics offseason has been, I think, somewhat tepid. Same for the Bruins. And right now it looks like the Patriots starting quarterback is Cam Newton. You had an opportunity here to really take back, you know, a lot of the consciousness of the sports fan in this city, and they punted on it. It's so stupid.
Speaking of Cam Newton and Mac Jones, we'll reset our thoughts on that heading into tonight's game. The first time you get to see old number 10, Maz.
Don't get me going. You know what? I think there should not be a curse on the Patriots for this.
Never mind that they gave away 87, which is a whole nother, you know, kettle of fish. There's a rookie receiver running around out there tonight, number 87. So they're not going to preserve Gronkowski's number, which is, I think, small of them. And I know they've put out every other number. They have. I know. Brewski's number is out there, and Troy Brown's number is out there, and Ty Law's numbers. Yeah, all of them. You know, I haven't. They put Adams' number back out there, right? Stidham wore 4. So they put them all back out there. I get it. Gronkowski? I don't know. But anyway, number 10 is off the board, Maz. Sorry. We'll reset that whole story after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.